This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:19, Friday, the 22nd of July. And of course, you're listening to The Morning Run with Keith Kam and I'm Wong Xiaoning. Now, it's been nearly 2 weeks since the UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson stepped down, and the contenders to take his place have been narrowed down from an initial field of 11 hopefuls to the final two. Former Chancellor of the Exchequer Rishi Sunak will go head-to-head with Liz Truss, Foreign Secretary, after they won the most votes from the Conservative Party MPs.
Yeah, so the next stage now is to woo the votes of the 180,000 Conservative Party members who will begin voting in August. The final decision is expected on September 5th. So both Rishi Sunak and Liz Truss will be vying to be the change candidate from their infamous predecessor, Boris Johnson, also affectionately known as Bojo, even though both of them have been part of every big decision by the previous government. The competition to become the final two has been marked by bitter attacks among the rivals.
So, of course, who will emerge victorious? And can the next prime minister unite not only a fractured party, but a polarised country? For analysis on the prospects of the two candidates, we speak to Patrick Diamond, Associate Professor of Public Policy at the Queen Mary University of London. Good morning, Patrick. Now, Rishi Sunak was always the front runner, but what can you tell us about Liz Truss? How did she end up beating rivals like Penny Mordaunt, who had earlier been a favourite to become the next prime minister?
Well, Liz Truss has been a very senior minister in the government for several years because she's foreign secretary. So she's played a prominent role, particularly around the UK government's response to the conflict in Ukraine, as well as shaping Britain's future relationship with the European Union after Brexit. So she's been very prominent. She's had a lot of media attention and so on. So she has a high profile. And of course, it's worth remembering that the electorate for this contest so far has been Conservative MPs in the House of Commons. And although Penny Mordaunt polls very well with the public, she's popular with voters. In this contest, the voters, in a sense, don't matter because it's about what the Conservative MPs support, and they chose to support Liz Truss over Penny Mordaunt.
How different are Rishi Sunak and Liz Truss in terms of campaign policy? How are they wooing the vote of the Conservative Party members?
So I think the big divide between them is on the issue of tax and running the economy. Rishi Sunak has been Chancellor of the Exchequer, so the finance minister, for the last 2.5 years. And so his record is very much the focal point of the campaign. Has he been successful in managing the British economy? What mistakes has he made? Now, although he's a conservative centre-right politician, his period in office has been associated with a significant rise in taxes. That's not, in a sense, entirely his fault, because the COVID pandemic obviously blew a large hole in the public finances and required taxes to be raised, as well as paying for better quality healthcare and social care and so on. But Liz Truss, his opponent, is making the case that in raising taxes, he has, in a sense, removed the major political advantage of conservatism, which is that it's a low tax. The Conservative Party is a low tax party, and he has somewhat thrown that away. So Liz Truss is campaigning for an immediate shift towards lower taxes, whereas Rishi Sunak is saying, hang on a minute, we need to be careful in how we do this. It's not the time to cut taxes. It may be in the future, but we need to focus much more on economic stability, tackling high inflation and so on.
Patrick, how would each candidate influence UK's foreign policy? Would either of them push for a toying with the EU, for example?
So in terms of Liz Truss, it's very likely that she would pursue an approach similar to Boris Johnson's. And that would be very much along the lines of what you just said, which is that the relationship between the UK and the EU would probably remain fairly antagonistic. That issue, or that that is most relevant to the question of the Northern Ireland Protocol, because, as you will know, the conflict between the UK and the EU has been stirred by this disagreement over how to handle the Northern Ireland border and how to deal with trade and so on. Liz Truss, I think, would very much stick with the approach that the Boris Johnson government took, which was to really try to push the EU hard and be very uncompromising. My sense is that Rishi Sunak would be willing to be somewhat more pragmatic. I think partly because he's been finance minister, he's aware that If the UK has a very conflictual relationship with the EU, it can damage, obviously, trade and also economic relationships. And so my sense is that he would be prepared to be a little bit softer, a little bit more pragmatic in terms of how he handles UK-EU relationships.
So now the vote goes to the Conservative Party, which we've been describing as 180,000 mostly white male voters. Is this accurate?
Yeah, so we've carried out a number of party membership surveys here at Queen Mary University of London. So we have a fairly good sense of what the demographic of the Conservative Party is. And I think your characterisation of it is reasonably accurate. It is largely men over the age of 65, and their ethnic background is predominantly white British. So it certainly is nowhere near as diverse in terms of ethnicity or gender or economic background than the rest of British society. Like all political parties, it must be said, it is not particularly socially representative. I mean, I think that would go for all of the main parties in Britain, but it's certainly true of the Conservatives.
So given the voter base in the Conservative Party, would Rishi Sunak's ethnicity and background count against him?
Yeah, it's a good question. So, of course, and it's worth saying that if Rishi Sunak were to be successful, then obviously he would be the first Prime Minister and Conservative Party leader from an ethnic minority background that we've ever seen in UK politics. So it would be a momentous moment if that happened. It's hard to say whether or not his ethnicity counts against him with Conservative Party members. I think there is a view that because, as we've just said, they are overwhelmingly white, male and middle-aged or older than middle-aged, that they're likely to support a particular type of candidate. I think probably that the explanation for their support for Truss is more to do with ideology than it necessarily is to do with ethnic identification. But it's certainly true that at the moment he purports to be less popular among Conservative members. So, you know, he has to get over that hurdle.
So in a general election, which candidate would be more of a threat to Labour?
Yeah, it's a good question. From what we know on the polling, it looks like Rishi Sunak would be a more formidable opponent for Labour because his performance as Chancellor, as Finance Minister, has generally been positively viewed by the British electorate. So particularly during the pandemic, he was regarded as effective. Although there's been a lot of bad economic news recently with rising cost of living pressures, I think the general view is he's been a competent chancellor. Going back to your previous question, I think one of the reasons why he would be more successful than Liz Truss in terms of winning a general election is precisely because, in coming from an ethnic minority background, he represents a different kind of conservatism, which is undoubtedly going to be appealing to a significant section of the British electorate. And as I said, he's also reasonably pragmatic, particularly in how he handles issues like the European Union and also climate change. Whereas Liz Truss is probably seen as somewhat more ideological, perhaps more willing to pick a fight with the EU. And so while she does command support among hardcore Conservative members, she's probably less likely to be successful in a general election in competing with Labour. So I think Sunak is the candidate that Labour most fears. I think the candidate that Labour would like to win is Liz Truss.
Patrick, there's a month to go before the decision is made, and I'm going to put you in the spot, but where would you place your bet? Is it Liz Truss or is it Rishi Sunak?
Well, I think if you were paying attention to what the data says, you would say Liz Truss is more likely than not to end up as Conservative Party leader. But there is a six-week campaign. They're going to do, I think, something like 20 hustings events around the country where they debate with each other. So the numbers could shift. I think it will partly depend on how ruthless Sunak is prepared to be. If Sunak is prepared to really attack Liz Truss on issues like the fact she voted Remain in 2016, and also the fact that she is calling for tax cuts, which could be portrayed as economically irresponsible in the current climate, then it is, I think, not impossible that Sunak could shift the numbers. As you pointed out, we're talking about an electorate of less than 200,000 people. So if you can have an immediate impact in those debates and in the media, then it's not impossible that Sunak could reverse his current status as the a second place and displace Truss. So I think Truss is more likely to win at this point, but it's not impossible that Sunak could.
Thank you for your time. That was Patrick Diamond, Associate Professor of Public Policy at the Queen Mary University of London. Up next, we'll discuss the Sulu Sultanate arbitration case and what this means for Malaysia. Stay tuned for that, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.